lift your head, we'll be sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up.
Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. I do apologize. I was out last week. The voice was completely gone, and you did not want to listen to that. I didn't want to listen to that. And so played a replay last week. But there's a lot of things to discuss tonight, as a lot of news occurring. As we've seen, 2019 has kind of been the year for the news on life and abortion. And so it's in front of a lot of people's faces. We're seeing it on our feeds and social media and in the news. And we're going to continue to conversate and talk about it here on the show as well. If you want to learn more about Hope, you can at investinghope.com. If you want to listen to the show via podcast, you can at investinghope.com. Also iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are found. You can find this show. Just search Conversation on Life with Andrew Wood. And so certainly glad that you are listening. Also coming up in April, we're just a little over a month away from our annual banquet, our fundraising banquet that's coming up April 25th. It's going to be a blast. You can learn more about that at investinghope.com. If you're not able to make it, but you still want to partner, you can donate. Just go to the website, click the big blue donate button, and we would love for you to partner with us. So last week, what I wanted to cover, but again, I wasn't here, is what happened in Washington, D.C. And so we've seen a lot of news lately out of New York, out of Vermont, out of even Mississippi, and even here in Tennessee, as I'll be getting to here in a few minutes. But we've seen a lot of news concerning life and abortion. We've seen the law in New York that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where Governor Cuomo signed a bill that took illegal abortion out of the penal code. So it took it out of the law, and now a baby inside the womb has no rights, even if the mom is carrying the child and wants to carry the child. The baby has no rights. We've seen in Virginia conversations occur about abortion all the way up until the mom, the pregnant woman is dilating. So abortions all the way up until birth. And then we've even had conversations, and this is where we get to Washington, D.C., about after baby is born, what happens? And we heard the governor of Virginia just a few weeks ago, which now isn't in the news at all, but we heard the governor of Virginia a few weeks ago in an interview talking about a bill that was in front of the legislature and talking about abortion up until birth. And he even went further and said, I'll tell you what would happen. If baby is born, we would resuscitate the child if that is what the family wanted. Then we would make the child comfortable, and then the mom and the doctor would discuss what to do with said child. Okay, so many of us saw that, excuse me, many of us saw that and said, well, hold on, that's a live, viable baby. That's a citizen laying on an exam table. What's the discussion? There is no discussion. You do what you can to save the child. And in the context of this, some people will say, well, he's talking about a baby that isn't viable. He's talking about a baby that may have deformities, or a baby that may be facing other issues and is going to pass on. But the doctor, the governor, who is a doctor, didn't talk about hospice care. He didn't talk about end-of-life decisions. He said, we will then discuss what to do from there. And so in response to that, and in response to some other conversations we've had, excuse me, Senator Sass, and see, my voice is still struggling. Senator Sass brought forth a bill, and that's where I want to talk about right now, is what happened in Washington, D.C. just last week. So last week, Senator Sass introduced a piece of legislation that sought to protect infants who survive botched abortions. Oftentimes, legislation consists of hundreds of pages of legalities and long-winded political speech, but the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act does not follow that trend. It instead simply seeks to provide the same rights to survivors of abortion that our Constitution provides to any other infant born in this country. This legislation should have received bipartisan support, Surely, Republicans, Democrats, and independents can agree that babies who survive botched abortions deserve the same protection as any other baby that is born. We can all agree, can't we, that there isn't a more vulnerable demographic than a defenseless baby right after birth. We may not agree on when life begins, but can we not all agree that a fully formed baby that is born meets the definition of life? Now, I'm not easily shocked, but this past week, I watched one of the major political parties in this country and five presidential candidates stand in opposition to this bill. Our Senate is made up of moms, dads, and grandparents, and this week they went, or last week, they went on the Senate floor and refused to say A, meaning voting in the affirmative, for a bill that would simply protect a baby born alive after a botched abortion. Many of them arguing, frankly, against the bill that they clearly hadn't read. How can this be? What could possibly drive elected officials in one of the most advanced societies this world has ever seen to oppose a bill that would protect the most vulnerable in our society? We have stood and fought for countries around the world when infanticide entered their culture. We have freed populations from tyrannical reign as we defended those who couldn't defend themselves. Yet we refuse to do the same when the opportunity is in front of us here in our own country. We could have, through a simple vote, protected the most vulnerable in our society. We could have. But we didn't. Politicians instead decided to grandstand and choose their abortion ideology over the lives of fully formed, viable, born babies. Now, that may sound harsh to some, but I've struggled to reach another conclusion. What could possibly possess someone to oppose offering protections and rights to children born? The process at which they were born should not be the determining factor on whether they have rights or not. A baby born through a traditional birth or through a botched abortion is still a baby. And in this case, a citizen that these politicians are bound by oath to represent. Where are the town halls on mainstream media outlets discussing this bill? Where are the articles and op-eds exposing the power of the abortion lobby over political candidates? When will we see the outcry by these outlets for the vulnerable babies who survive botched abortions being left to die? When will these outlets interview the men and women that are alive today because a medical professional stepped in and saved their life? Some would argue that the pro-life label is toxic and should be removed from our narrative and vocabulary. I don't subscribe to this thinking. There are 3,000 abortions occurring daily in this country. We have participated in roughly 60 million abortions since 1973. And just last week, Senate members refused to stand in opposition to infanticide. Being pro-life matters more now than ever, and many are joining this fight. Now, chumps, some choose to call me extreme for my positions on abortion and life. If this is true, my extremism has me fighting for the life of every human, while their extremism has them fighting to end the life of those deemed disposable. The lack of leadership shown in the halls of our nation's capital last week, is heartbreaking. But it will not break our resolve to stand for those who are unable to stand for themselves. And so what you had last week on the Senate floor is you had a few folks on the left stand up and say, okay, yes, I'm gonna stand in favor of protecting babies born via botched abortions. And so all this law did is simply protected a child that survived a botched abortion. And some will say, well, that doesn't happen. How often does that happen? You know, but it's interesting to me. When we talk about any other issue, when we talk about car wrecks, when we talk about gun control, when we talk about immigration, what do we hear from everyone? If it could save one life, then it's worth the fight. Well, folks, there are more than one life surviving botched abortions in this country. Just the other night on one network, you saw an interview with three different individuals that were survived botched abortions. The other night on the floor of the Senate, there was someone there that had survived a botched abortion. And so the question isn't, in this particular case, it had nothing to do with abortion. The law said nothing about restricting abortion. The law said nothing about a woman's right to choose. This piece of legislation simply said, if a child survives a botched abortion, that child then has the same rights as any other child and deserves the same care as any other child. But instead, what you had is you had senators stand up and keep saying this was about abortion. This was about taking the rights away from women. But what they don't recognize and what they refuse to admit is that some of these babies that survived botched abortions are, guess what? They're females. The three interviews that I discussed, the three women that were interviewed the other day, guess what? They are women. You know, so when we want to talk about empowering women, we want to talk about taking care of the vulnerable. It's going to be awfully hard for me to take anyone serious that says we need to stand up for those crossing the border and we don't need to separate families, when in the other side of their mouth they say we do not need to protect babies that are born after botched abortions. You see, I agree that we need to do something about the border issue. We do not need to separate families. And I also agree that there's a lot of traffickers that are bringing children over the border, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed. You see, I believe that they are vulnerable people that we need to take care of at the border, but I also believe that citizens of the United States that survive botched abortions deserve our protection. Why? Because they're citizens, and these politicians took an oath to protect them. These politicians took an oath to represent them. But instead, they allow the abortion lobby to control them. You know, just the other day, Planned Parenthood tweeted out that they had an issue with the things going on at the border and our country. And they have an issue with the current administration and their policies on the wall and their policies on family separation. And it's ironic to me that an organization that aborts 328,000 babies every single year would claim that they care deeply about children. And again, that may sound harsh, but excuse me for not taking them serious. It's the same thing that happens when people talk about climate change. And again, I'm not going to talk about climate change on here. But it's a little bit hard to take someone serious on their stance on the environment when they fly around in private planes and they own three homes and their carbon footprint is bigger than mine will ever be. It hurts their credibility. So when your organization aborts 328,000 babies a year, it hurts the credibility when you go and try to talk about vulnerable children. And again, are my views extreme? Are our views extreme because we're pro-life? Well, if they are, so be it, because that means I'm standing up for every single life. Every life. And I believe that every life has a chance and should have a chance. And it's insulting that a politician who has taken an oath to protect and to represent its citizens would refuse to protect and represent the most vulnerable citizens, which are those that even survive a botched abortion. We're not even talking about babies that are still in the womb. We are talking about babies in the hospital, out of the womb. And they deserve protections. And we come back, we're going to talk about another law that is moving in the legislature in Illinois that is even more extreme when it comes to abortion and the culture of death that we are seeing across this country and, frankly, this world. We'll be back. So as we have this conversation on life, you know, it's important that we, again, that we engage in this process, that we know what is going on around our country. And I get it. If you're listening local, then you're like, well, what's it matter if what goes on in New York? What's it matter what goes on in Illinois or Vermont or these other states? And the reason it matters is because we can get a glimpse into the days after Roe v. Wade is overturned, because that's where we're going. And that's why New York and Illinois and all these other states are, and even your southern states, some of your redder states are passing laws in preparation for what many see is coming, is the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it goes back to the state. So what you'll have is you have a state like New York with the law that they have that says abortion is okay at any point in the pregnancy for any reason. That a fetus in the womb, that a baby in the womb has no rights. And then you'll see states like Tennessee that just this week on the House floor on Thursday, I'm going to be there and I'll be reporting back next week. But this Thursday on the House floor in the state of Tennessee, we are hearing the heartbeat bill. We're going to debate the heartbeat bill. And what that says is if a heartbeat is present, the abortion cannot occur. So again, preparing for the day Roe v. Wade is overturned. Roe v. Wade's overturned, then Tennessee says, look, we don't provide abortions in this state. And so that's the direction that we're going. But also we need to pay attention because there's an election coming up. And you've already seen, I think, the number now is between 10 and 15 folks on the Democratic side have put their name in the hat to run for president. We have a couple independent folks that have put their name in the hat. And then, of course, President Trump is planning on running again. And so the debate and the conversation is going to continue. And what I would argue is a miscalculation, political miscalculation, is the running to the extreme left when it comes to abortion. Polls are consistently showing that more and more people are leaning toward pro-life. At the very least, more and more people are saying abortion in the third trimester is wrong and should be restricted. Abortion after 20 weeks should be restricted. The vast majority of the populace believe that. Talk to anyone. And so running to the left when it comes to the extreme of abortion is saying that abortion anytime during the pregnancy, for any reason, saying that is okay is not going to win elections. It's just not. But let's be fair and let's be honest here. There is a party that's also been saying that they are going to defund Planned Parenthood and they're going to do all of these things, and they haven't done it. And so it becomes campaign fodder. But we as a society, we as pro-lifers, we folks that are doing the work every single day, we need to step up and say, hey, we're going to hold you accountable for this. Those that are on our quote-unquote team and those that aren't on our quote-unquote team, we're going to hold them accountable to their policies. And so here's what happened in Illinois. Here's what is being discussed. It's called the Reproductive Health Act, and it's 118 pages long and presents so many positions that are problematic for people who are either pro-life or pro-liberty. It is difficult to summarize them all succinctly. And again, this article is from The Federalist, and you can go find that at thefederalist.com. The main thrust of the bill can be summed up in this one-liner, and I want you to hear this one-liner out of the bill. 118 pages, but I want you to hear this one. A fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent rights under the laws of this state. So Illinois is saying that regardless of how pregnant you are, where you are in the current process of pregnancy, that the child inside of you, first, second, or third trimester, has no rights under the law of their state. That is the law. That is the piece of legislation that they are pushing. Yet I'm the one that's called extreme. They are going out of their way to say that an egg, embryo, a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent rights under the law of their state. So what does that mean for a mom that wants her baby, but is hit by a drunk driver and the baby dies? What does that mean for that mom and that family? That their child has no rights? Their child didn't exist? Is that what that means? That drunk driver just gets charged with drinking and driving and having a wreck, but not with murder? What does that mean for the mom that wants her baby and her abusive boyfriend comes and attacks her and kills the baby inside of the womb? What does that mean? That means that, well, the fetus doesn't have rights in that state, so the abuser has more rights than that innocent baby does in the womb, even though the mom wanted the pregnancy. What does that mean for the pregnant mom that is out at the mall one night and is attacked by a stranger? And she wants her baby. She's planned for that baby, had baby showers, got the crib and everything ready. She's 8 months pregnant. And the attacker kills the child inside of her. They just supposed to pack all that stuff up and go, well, baby never existed, didn't have rights in our society, so it doesn't matter? Is that progress? Is that feminism? Is that empowering of women? No, no, it's not. It's damning. It's destructive. And it is selling a bill of goods to our young people and to our culture and to our society that is going to cause more death and destruction. This is insane. I have a 3-year-old that carries a baby with her everywhere, that simulates pregnancy by putting the baby in her shirt sometimes, that carefully lays that baby doll down in a crib. That when my wife was pregnant with our 4th child, that my 3-year-old would rub my wife's belly and know that her little sister was inside of there. That when we looked at the ultrasound scan of little Charlie, our youngest, and I took my oldest, 7 at the time, and when he looked up at the screen, did he say, look at that little fetus, I wonder what it's going to be? Or did he say, that's my little sister, it's clearly a baby? Well, of course he said, that's my little sister. Of course he said, that's clearly a baby. You see, we have reached a point in our society where we refuse, many of us refuse, to understand what this is doing to our populace. You see, the folks in Illinois, when they're drafting this legislation, I'm sure there's people in the room that are pregnant. I'm sure there's families that are pregnant. I'm sure they've gone to gender reveal parties. Yet they can sit down and write a law that says a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent rights under the law of this state. And then they say that's progress. Then they say that's, hey, it's women's health. You can't go against our reproductive rights. We have advanced in technology, and we have advanced in so many different areas in this country. And the fact that we would have anyone author legislation that says this, the fact that we would have anyone that would boldly stand up and say they stand with this piece of legislation tells us just how far backwards we have gone. But the bill doesn't stop there. It also allows for physician assistants to perform abortions and eliminates restrictions on where the procedure can occur. Further, the legislation repeals several provisions of the statutes that give legal protections for healthcare workers and providers who refuse to take part in or perform abortion procedures. So did you hear that? That means that if there's a doctor or a nurse or a medical professional in the state of Illinois that says, my faith, my religion, my First Amendment rights do not allow for me to participate in an abortion. My belief system, my values do not allow for me to be in this room while this abortion occurs. It doesn't allow for me to provide this abortion as a physician. What Illinois is saying is, no, that doesn't matter. You're going to have to do it. This is where we are. And I'm telling you, it gets me riled up, if you can't tell. But also, this is a huge, you know, not let it not be me that gives them advice in terms of legislation, but this is a huge miscalculation politically. This is not going to sit well with moms and with dads and families. You can say that this is a woman's issue all you want, but this is a society issue. This is a gospel issue. This is a culture issue. I'm a dad to 4 children. 3 of those are girls. And to act like I'm not pro-woman is insane. But see, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of folks like me. that love their children. There's a lot of moms out there that love their children and would do anything for them. And when we see this type of legislation, we know what they're trying to do. And it's not okay. And we're going to see that. I promise you, you're going to see that in the next election. It's not going to go well for those that are standing for this type of legislation and this type of law. We'll be back. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength because I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. So as we look across the country and we see what's going on in different parts in terms of, I guess, extreme abortion measures, and the conversation continues to occur as people are starting to go, hold on, when I said I was pro-choice, I didn't mean third trimester, or as Ben Sasse said, fourth trimester, even after baby's born. That's not what I mean by pro-choice. But the reality is, those that are driving that narrative, those that are driving the pro-choice calls, those that are driving the abortion on demand calls, the abortion lobby, that is absolutely the goal. Like, if you can't see that by now, then I don't know what else to say. You see, for a long time, it was safe, legal, and rare. It was, look, abortion, you know, they would use the argument that abortions were happening in the alleys with coat hangers, which we could go into. That's not completely true. And so they said, look, we just need it safe. We need it legal. And yes, of course, we want it rare. No one wants to have an abortion. We only are going to have those in the rare cases of, and then they would argue rape or incest or the life of the mother. And so when you paint it that way, many people say, well, yeah, I get that. Safe, legal, rare. We certainly want women to be safe. We certainly want it. We don't want them breaking the law. And certainly we want it rare because no one is longing for an abortion. No one is desiring that. You see, but that mantra, safe, legal, and rare, doesn't match up with what the abortion lobby is pushing as of late, which is hashtag shout your abortion. Well, if it's supposed to be safe, legal, and rare, should we be boasting about our abortions? If it's supposed to be safe, legal, and rare, should we be telling people my favorite abortion was the first? Or because that's what they're saying online, and that's what these organizations are pushing now. And so it's no longer safe, legal, and rare. And for a time, the argument was, well, it's not a life. You know, it's not a life until later in pregnancy, and so since it's not a life in the first trimester, then it's okay to have an abortion. And now we know, because of technology, that, well, it is a life. I mean, frankly, we should have known that then because, well, that's where we all came from, is growing inside of a womb. And so we know that it's a life because, well, we are the reflection of that. Like, if you want to know what goes on inside the womb, just look at your neighbor. If you want to know what goes on inside of the womb, just look in the mirror. That is what goes on inside of the womb. You grew inside of a womb. And so the question of is it a life or not? Well, of course it's a life. Of course it's human because that is how we all got our start. Well, so then we move to, well, yeah, it's a life, but it's still a woman's choice, and it's her body, her choice. Well, then you look at that and you go, well, yeah, your body's carrying the baby, but that child has its own DNA, its own blood type, its own organs, its own fingerprints, its own dreams, its own brain. It's going to have its own hair. It's going to have its own fingernails. It's going to have all of those things. And guess what? That child in the womb has never been created before. And guess what? We'll never be created again. I mean, that's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing, but that's the truth. And so when we say that, well, it's not a life, or when we say it's a my body, my choice, the reality is this is just how procreation occurs, that a woman is a vehicle for children. Now, we'll pass laws that say you can't slaughter cows in New Jersey that are pregnant because we want to protect the calf inside of the cow. But we will also pass laws in New York that say that a woman can have an abortion at any point during that pregnancy. I mean, does that make sense to anybody? And so, again, these laws don't surprise me. These conversations don't surprise me because that's where we are. What surprises me is that it doesn't seem to get the same coverage. I just don't understand when we look at the media, when there's a school shooting, we have town halls about it, and we should. We should have a conversation on what's going on there. But when a state passes a law that says that a fetus in the womb, we're actually going to remove rights from that citizen, I'm sorry, I'm going to have a problem with that. Why are we not having town halls? Why are we not interviewing those that have survived botched abortions, those that are here today because an abortion failed? Why are we not interviewing those that have Down syndrome that say, look, I'm a person, I'm a citizen of this country. Why should it be okay to abort me? Well, we're not having those conversations because the narrative's already been set. The plan's already been in place. And you're certainly not going to have people sit down with you know, folks like me that are considered extreme when they talk about pro-life issues because, well, we don't get a voice. We don't get that platform. And so the reason these things should concern us, the reason these things should at least be on our radar is because this is the society that we're growing up in. This is the society that my kids are growing up in. When politicians come out and say, is it okay? Isn't even okay at this point to bring children into this world? Like, do you know how insulting that is to families that have longed to get pregnant and can't? Do you know how insulting that is to a family that has had miscarriages? And then you're flippantly going to say, is it even okay to have children and bring them into this world? You see, life is a gift, and we have become a society that we believe we're God. And we get to decide whether life gets to occur or not. And now we have lobbying organizations that spend all of their time, all of their money, on pushing an agenda that makes them billions of dollars. Do you get that? Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in this country. They give millions of dollars to political candidates every single year. They receive $500 million from the government through reimbursements and other programs because of the services they provide. And I know people are going to hear this and say, but legally, none of that money can go toward abortion. Okay? Do you know that budgets are fungible? Do you know that budgets, that because they receive $500 million to allow them to do pap smears and other things, that frees up money in their budget to do abortions? So look, the budget is there. Money is coming in and allowing them and helping them provide those services. But when they push the abortion agenda, they are doing so from a mindset that they know they're going to make a lot of money off of abortions. They're not providing those services for free. Pregnancy centers, on the other hand, are providing all of their services for free, and not one heartbeat is going to be stopped inside of a pregnancy center. You know, we provide well woman visits as well at Hope Resource Center. So we're providing these other services, and we don't charge a dime. Guess what else? We don't charge the insurance. And guess what? We're not receiving any money from the state or federal government. We also aren't giving thousands and millions of dollars to political candidates. That's not our heart. That's not where we're at. Our heart is truly serving women. Our heart is truly about empowering women to say, you can have your baby and your dreams. You don't have to pick one over the other. And so the conversation over the last few weeks has been about some of these laws that have rose to the surface. And a lot of it started because a governor in Virginia, in a rare moment of honesty and transparency, gave us a glimpse into what the abortion industry truly wants to do. And that babies don't have rights until they leave the hospital. Well, that should concern us all. And we've seen in New York and now in Illinois, they're pushing to remove rights for those that are in the womb. They think, well, this is empowering women, but the reality is it's empowering the abuser. And we've already seen that in the state of New York, which I talked about a couple weeks ago, where a man attacked his girlfriend who was pregnant. He killed the girlfriend, killed the baby, and he was only charged with one murder. Why? Because the DA had to remove the charge for the illegal abortion because the new law said that baby in the womb had no rights. So he's only charged with one murder. What if that mom would have survived? Then what? And we said this a couple weeks ago. The mindset now is you have a right to an abortion, but you don't necessarily have a right to your pregnancy. Again, something that's not often talked about is these babies that are being born, these babies that are being aborted in this country are citizens. If they make it out of the womb, they're citizens of this country. And these politicians took an oath to represent those citizens. And instead, they are taking rights away. We'll talk more when we come back. So a good conversation today, and I say that every week because, well, I had a conversation with myself, and every day I get to have a conversation with myself. It's a good one. So I hope it was fruitful. I hope that through these conversations we are able to see and get a glimpse of what's going on, maybe some things that weren't on your radar are now on your radar, and you're paying attention to some of the conversations that are being had around the country. And again, we engage in this process. But we don't stop there. We have work to do on the ground. We have work to do through our pregnancy centers, through other ministries, through our church. We need to be loving on the moms in our lives that are facing unplanned pregnancy and the families, and taking care of kids that are in foster care and taking care of adopting children and all of those things. We need to be doing all of those things. But we also, as a civilized society, need to have laws that represent that. And the fact remains that our laws, when it comes to abortion, puts us in line with North Korea and Vietnam and China. And that's not something that should be celebrated. But yet, here we are. And so my prayer is that our leaders would see this. That this has become such a polarizing issue that we have, again, the extreme on the pro-life side simply says, life is precious and deserves protection. That's not that out there. That's not a crazy thought. But the extreme on the other side is saying, hey, third trimester abortions are okay, and even after birth, we're going to decide what to do with this baby. That is so far off the rails that I don't know what to there's not much to say to it. And so when we see these laws that are removing rights from those that are in the womb, we should certainly be concerned about that and contact the proper folks and reach out and say, hey, I don't support that. Contact your representatives. And then when you have representatives and senators that are putting forth laws that you think celebrate life and that we agree with, let them know too. A lot of times our politicians only hear from those when people are upset at them. So a lot of times the emails are only about, hey, how could you have done this? Why did you support that? Why don't you do this? instead of going, reaching out and saying, thank you so much for sponsoring this bill that celebrates life. Thank you so much for agreeing that life is precious and deserves protection in the womb. Reach out to these folks and let them know. It's okay to send them a letter. It's okay to send them an email, to give them a phone call. Encourage them. That's not easy work. And hold them accountable. Hey, you said this on the campaign trail, but I'm not seeing it currently now that you're in office. And so hold them accountable when you're thinking through this. And ultimately, I would say I would strongly encourage you to partner with the pregnancy center in your area. If you're local, Hope Resource Center, we would love for you to partner with us. Learn more about what we're doing at investinghope.com. But if you're not local, then there's a really good chance there's close to 3,000 pregnancy centers around this country. If you're not local, there's a really good chance there's a pregnancy center in your neighborhood, in your city, in your town. Reach out. Partner with them. Give to them financially. They're nonprofits. They need your help in that way. Pray for them. And even if you're local, pray for all the pregnancy centers across this country. Pray for a new movie that's coming out with Abby Johnson, her story called Unplanned. And from everything that I've heard, it is going to be a game changer. And next week, and I said this last week, but I got sick and wasn't able to. But next week, we are going to have Abby Johnson on the show, and we're going to talk about the movie, Unplanned. And if you don't know her story, it's an amazing one. She used to work inside of Planned Parenthood, and then the Lord brought her out of that. And I'm not going to tell her story because she'll probably go into it next week. But it's an amazing story of how God can redeem. And that life is precious, and that forgiveness comes and repentance comes, and God can do amazing things through the lives of a normal everyday people. And her story is certainly one that has made a huge impact on people all across this country and this world. And you can get the book Unplanned. The movie is based on the book. The book's amazing. She also has one book called If These Walls Could Talk, and it's an amazing book as well, talking about what goes on behind the walls of an abortion clinic. And it's eye-opening. At times it's hard to read because it's so eye-opening, but I highly recommend it to you. So we'll have that conversation with Abby next week. Again, if you want to learn more, you can go to investinghope.com. If you want to listen to this show, maybe you caught the tail end and you want to hear the whole thing, or you want to listen to old shows, past shows, you can at investinghope.com. Also iTunes, wherever podcasts are found, Google Play, any of those places. And it's been fun. We will talk to you next week.